The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And today, we are going to have very, very vibrant, exciting, groundbreaking conversations about construction and other related technical and interesting topics. Now, today we are very fortunate that Debbie was looking through the papers in the last show, and we saw some information that piqued our interest. And just like the two wildcats we are, we said, you know what? Let's go ahead and call them. So today we are very happy. Esteemed persons in our room are going to share to the listening audience about some subjects that they kind of know about, but I believe that we could never have enough information about. So without further ado, I'm going to swing over to the gentleman right in front of me. I know it's always ladies first, but I'm going with Dave today because your conversation is going to be a lot longer. So let me go with Dave first. Dave, please introduce yourself to the Nailed It audience.
Good afternoon, Bahamas and the globe, I guess. My name is Dave Taylor, president of Target Surveying and Engineering, surveyor and a geomatics engineer.
There we go. Lady to my left.
Good evening. My name is Janique Kemp. I'm a licensed land surveyor.
I think we need to do a drum roll just for that.
Well, that's one of the United Nations, sustainable goals. Yes.
Okay.
Including women. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now,
gender.
We're going to dive right into it. And I kind of set up a little bit about it. And I'm going to just go straight over the deep end with this. I think at some point in time, in most Bahamians who own property, life, they would have had, I know I had to, engage a licensed surveyor to make sure that, A, for one reason, the property they thought they were going to acquire had the boundaries in it. They know the size, dimension was not. But Dave, tell us about, give us the history of land surveying from the standpoint of its entire significance. Why land surveying?
Well, land surveying is really a science that focuses on a couple aspects, right? One is data collection.
Yeah.
One is processing that data. Mm-hmm. It's also managing that data, and then also displaying that data or storing that data, right? But it's all based on how do we relate different things in the earth, on the earth surface, sometimes even beneath the earth's mm-hmm. surface, sometimes beneath the oceans. How do we relate them to each other in terms of geo-referencing them to a physical space?
So in the Bahamas,
yes.
Is it safe to say that we only think about land surveying in the contextual terms of I need to get my property surveyed? But clearly it's a lot more than that.
You are totally correct. So predominantly, yes, that's when, and it's funny because even like up to the day, you know what I mean? I'm receiving a call for someone who only realizes now that to close, and the closing is in a few days, mm-hmm. they need a land surveyor. Right. So, I mean, sometimes it's not until persons are at mm-hmm. a crossroads where they need something mm-hmm. urgently executed that they realize, okay, we do need a land surveyor. But it doesn't seem to be a thought. Now, I let me qualify that, because I must say that, you know, of course, persons who are in the engineering industry, mm-hmm. the architectural, mm-hmm. The related sciences, they, of course, know.
They
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they reach out to surveyors.
All the time.
All the time, mm-hmm. yes.
But I understand that Scotiabank mm-hmm. now only hires surveyors that they are comfortable with. They have actually said, okay, these persons are actually going to be the surveyors for Scotiabank, because there have been flaws where they have hired persons to, or a client has come in with a survey, mm-hmm. right? And they've accepted the survey mm-hmm. just on the grounds that mm-hmm. it's there and mm-hmm. it's done. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, signed by a licensed surveyor. And 2 or 3 years later down the road, when the mortgage is already active and the person's living in the home, they find out that the property that they have had surveyed is not their property. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, the person basically walks away from the mortgage because I don't even own this property, so I can't own the house. The house has to come down. And then what ends up happening is the person then walks away from the mortgage and the bank ends up
with a loss.
Yeah. Like, what can we do? We can't even sell this property because that person doesn't even own that property. Mm-hmm. So these are the kind of things that I think persons out there don't really understand how important it is. Sorry. If you've surveyed a piece of property that you think is yours and it's not, at the end of the day, you can't do anything with that. Mm-hmm. And if you have built a house, that $200,000 or $300,000 that you spent mm-hmm. is in vain.
Mm-hmm. That is totally correct. Yeah. And thankfully, Scotiabank has implemented that, and I've seen even their list of surveyors mm-hmm. Change over the years
right.
Because they are very, very serious about ensuring that whoever they present to their clients as a qualified surveyor meets the standards
right.
annually.
And
annually, we have to submit to them the persons that are on the list. Our updated surveyor's license, our business license, our professional indemnity insurance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you have to be up to date with all
that. I love that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And that's what they said. But I think I'm hoping that other banks out there are listening.
Right.
Because this is vital.
Yeah.
You know, this creates a huge problem in the country.
Yeah. Right. So let me swing it over here to Madam Kemp. I'd like to know, and I'm going to ask this question. You stand here, and Dave told us off air, you're only one of two
right.
females licensed land surveyors in the country.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yay.
All the little boys and girls, look at this trailblazer. She only looks 18, so I don't understand how all this happened. So
yeah, we can't.
Come on,
like
Ms. Kemp. Give us your story. How did this happen? Why surveying?
Why?
How did this happen?
Why surveying? I actually wanted to go into potentially engineering.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to have a family member, an uncle, who was, I would say, pivotal in my story.
Mm-hmm.
One of my first summer jobs at 16 was at a surveying firm, and I just grew a love for the field and mm-hmm. the vastness of the field and the way that we had the ability to help and empower people. A lot of people don't look at surveying like that, but I kind of fell in love with
mm-hmm.
it. And
mm-hmm.
so even the path into it was a little easier.
Because
I had some guidance.
Yeah,
I knew what I needed to do to make sure I met the requirements to get in the field. Being in the field, obviously there was some ceilings that you had to
mm-hmm.
try to push past, being
mm-hmm.
a female,
mm-hmm.
being the first, I was the first licensed. There's another, again, the other licensed female was, I would say she trailblazed as well.
Mm-hmm. Were you shocked when you found out there were no female licensed surveyors? Was that something that didn't hit you? It's like, hold on, you tell me I'm going to be number one?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just for the mere fact that, again, it's a generally a male-dominated field, so I wouldn't say I was completely shocked, but to say that nobody had gotten to that point yeah,
to be licensed,
for sure.
Seminal, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I can get you 1 second there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go, Ms. Kemp. your first day out, you're going to a new site. No one didn't know. They heard the company or they heard your name, and you're showing up. Walk us through the shock and awe when the female server with the instruments is coming out of the truck or car. So, yeah, I'm coming to do. Yeah, I'm going to cut this. Do this last word. Go ahead.
Well, like give us a say, story. I have a few stories. I've had one particular instances when I first came back after school, and the client called. My uncle and was like, "I see a little girl rummaging in the bushes." it doesn't help that I'm petite,
yes.
Have a youthful face, and so again, you're not used to seeing the female,
no,
and I definitely don't fit the
profile.
Yeah.
So I remind your uncle that that little girl is rummaging. She's actually the surveyor.
I'm the surveyor.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
So. Dave, before we talked about, I wanted people to understand, and especially for everyone outside there, and kind of piggybacking off every conversation, give us the legal definition of land surveying, as you understand for the Bahamas, and why it's so critical that more about land surveying is shared with the general public.
I wish I had my act available. Yes, I guess in simple terms, land surveyor is really someone that is involved with the work in terms of defining land parcels.
Okay.
And the ACT action, this is something that you will be hearing more from the association in the future on, because I think it's something that we're seeing more and more of, where there are persons who are participating in land surveying activities, not understanding that is actually really against the law.
Against the law, that's illegal.
You know, to place or disturb in any way a boundary marker that's set by a licensed surveyor to define a property
is
punishable both by a fine.
And imprisonment.
And imprisonment.
Oh, yeah, if
the magistrate so decides, right. Yes.
Oh, that's significant.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
Debbie, you know in our years, we've seen people move survey markers.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
We've seen people move survey markers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So a surveyor is really someone that's of course, licensed in the Bahamas. And there is a board, the Land Surveyors Board of the Bahamas, that was established by the ACT in 1975, that license every surveyor annually.
Wow.
Yes.
And on that question, you mentioned something for the banks, what Debbie is mentioning. So you guys have to renew your licenses and be current every single year?
Every single year.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah.
See, I like that.
Here we are, unlicensed contractors having to hire a license.
And even the surveyors again.
Here we are again. Anyway, hopefully that'll change soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
But one thing I want to bring up, too, is the importance of it, because I've dealt with so many persons in the Family Islands because very little was ever done.
Right.
You just basically, you know, back in the day, I don't know how they did it. I don't know if they were, I don't know how long surveyors have actually been legally surveying in the Bahamas, probably since the 50s, I would say.
Well, no, actually, I mean, I've referenced plans that are back to the 20s and even early on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess what I'm getting at is a lot of persons think that because there's land out there and they don't think that anybody knows who owns it and that type of thing, they can just go in and just say, well, we're just going to abscond with this, not in those words. But they're just going to say, you know, this is, we want to have this piece of property. Nobody ever comes here, and they mark it all off. They have somebody come and survey it, and then they start building, and then they, you know, build on the next lot, and the next lot, come to find out years later, none of that was owned by them. That belonged to, let's say, if it's in Exuma, that belonged to the Roll family.
Mm-hmm.
It did not belong to the Taylor family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
So these are the kind of things that people don't understand. When you're doing something like that, you are breaking the law.
That is correct.
And, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, actually, let's start with this, Debbie. Of course, because of the Bahamas being a former colony, right, the reality is, every single island of the Bahamas, you can actually find an original grant map for. Where the entire country...
Yeah, Land and Survey.
Exactly.
Has, they have a lot.
That's right.
They
so
have
the
a
entire
lot.
Country
yes.
started out by these large tracts, right. Right, which were granted to certain persons, right? Mm-hmm. And those tracts, in turn, were all kind of broken down
into the smaller lots.
Right, right, subsequently, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, there is nothing such as...
Nobody owns it.
Exactly, yeah. Right. There is ownership.
Right,
yeah.
But unfortunately, the general public listening, a lot of people do believe that there is nothing like that, and nobody will know.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things that we need to dispel, because it creates too many problems for too many people, and it's not really fair.
Totally correct. And I think there are two things that are tied into that. One aspect is the legal aspect, but then also from an environmental aspect, I've kind of seen that there's a general attitude that if it's bush, then you can do anything, just throw anything in it. Mm-hmm. You know, even I've, gone in many neighborhoods and seen where persons actually, if the property is not inhabited next door, it's just bush, then they kind of just toss their landscaping garbage next door. Yeah. But that is owned by someone.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I think there's a whole awareness that I think we're getting there as a country in terms of becoming more aware of respecting property boundaries. And I think, thankfully, as we move closer towards title registration, it will force us in that direction.
I like that.
Because when you do that to somebody's property, it ends up, if you're in a subdivision, everybody in that subdivision basically bought property and built a house to a certain value.
Correct.
And what they want is they want their property value to increase, not decrease. Mm-hmm. But if you have somebody with a vacant piece of property, and whether them or somebody else is throwing cars and all that kind of stuff in it, if you have somebody coming to buy your house and you're next to that lot, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for you to sell your property.
Absolutely. You know? So let's talk about this. Janique, okay. So talk to somebody who may have an interest, they don't know yet, about how to get in the field. Because the growing, I guess, aspiration of younger immigrants, I believe, often said awareness. They don't know. I can't tell someone how to become a land surveyor. How do you get into the space? You don't have an uncle who is a surveyor. How does a young person, male or female, get into the space of land surveying?
Okay, so my first thing would be to, just like any other career, do your research. See what some of the key maybe subjects are that you'll have to tap into to see if that's something you're interested in. I would say
math.
Definitely math.
Definitely. And surveying is so vast. I think you would agree. We kind of touch on a little bit of everything. Some law, some. So I would say do some research. One recommendation I would say, see if you can contact a local surveyor, a reputable surveyor, and see if you can do an internship. I have an intern who's actually started his first semester at Troy to study surveying. And so I would say see if you can get somebody or another surveyor to kind of mentor you.
Mm-hmm.
He did a summer or two with us just to make sure that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then I would say there are several pathways. If you're in the U.S. or Canada, it's a four-year degree, bachelor's degree. I think the U.K. may be a diploma, two-year. But find a program, a solid program of study. And then the next step would be to, whether you come home, we would want you to come back home.
Please, we need you to
because
come
we have such a shortage.
Yeah, we have a huge
shortage.
Yeah. So
We were looking for them, and I was asking my best friend Google, who was not my best friend at all. I was only able to find six, and two of them were no longer active. Right.
And that's the question for any one of you. How many licensed land surveyors are there? They don't have to be in the association, to your knowledge, in the Bahamas.
Actually, right now, I think we're in the history of the Bahamas, we're up to the number 80 something.
Really?
Wow.
No way.
The majority of them
are going to have to provide information.
I will in a few seconds.
I do not believe that. Terry?
Yes.
Wow.
Google is not your friend anymore.
You know what? I'm going to change the voice to a male. And then I'll get better information.
Right. 80 something. Well, that's good.
But we didn't know that.
We didn't know. We were trying to figure out If I'm in, let's say, Acklands, who do I call? Do I call someone in Nassau?
Yeah. You
yes.
have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, you still have to call somebody in Nassau?
Yes.
There's no one in Acklands?
No. Actually,
why?
So most of the, I think the furthest south that there is a surveyor living is probably Long Island.
But it's such a vital. It's a vital.
You can't do anything
profession.
Right.
In construction or real estate without a surveyor.
Yes.
That's the number one.
Janique, in the time that you were in high school before college,
mm-hmm.
did you ever hear a conversation in career paths about land surveying?
No.
Same thing with me. I can't remember.
Either.
And I did architecture. I don't remember anyone mentioning a career path of being a surveyor. I knew persons were surveyors.
Yes.
But no one ever talked about this is a career path.
And that would be a great career path for persons to venture into because it is a limited amount of
people in it.
Which is in the 80s, if you think about it.
Yes.
And there's so many grants and scholarships that you can get. There's Lyford Key. There's so many different ones that you could actually get.
Especially because it's a demanded field.
Yes.
So to confirm, we're up to number 87.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Yes. That is awesome.
We're up to
now, Dave, before you come off the show, please send me that list.
Yes.
What the Bahamian Contractors Association
is doing. Because we need to put that up
for our
prime members.
Since we launched our website.
Yes.
We now, because again, this is coming from our organic way we do things. We recognize I got a call from one of my friends. And they was looking for a licensed electrician.
Mm.
And they was like, so what do I go to find out? And I said, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I called one of my electrician's friends who was licensed. Say, where's the list of the licensed electrician? He said, there's no list, Noah. You have to go and call Mr. Sands or Mr. Brown at the Ministry of Public Works, and they have the list. I said, so if I'm a member of general public, how likely will they know that?
Yeah.
Oh, they won't know that. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. The Bahamian Contractors Association, which is www.bahamiancontractors.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have the list of all licensed electricians, single mm-hmm. and three-phase,
mm-hmm.
all plumbers,
mm-hmm.
master and journeyman,
right.
and all soon-to-be, soon as we get the list of you guys, licensed surveyors.
Yeah.
Because what our whole idea is,
mm-hmm. to educate.
The Bahamian Contractors Association, we want our site to be the repository
mm-hmm.
of all professionals related to construction.
Mm-hmm.
We can't build without surveyors.
Right.
Electricians can't. We need everyone.
Yeah.
So that's why we decided that once we get people like yourselves who are members of the association, give us a list.
Right.
It gets us on the website. So when someone asks, go to our website, look for electrician, plumber, surveyor, your architect, everyone's there.
So many people don't want to share that information. They just think, you know what, I know it, I'm not going to share it with anybody.
Yeah.
And that's a typical Bahamian thing.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
not going to share it, but that is not what the BCA is all about.
Right.
We are about educating. We're all about making
sharing
and making sure we make the industry better.
Yes.
We can only make the industry better by giving whatever we know to everybody.
Yes.
Now, one of the interesting things, and I know you touched on it, Janique, there has to be a bit of botany involved in your course of study. Because I know both of you guys have been cutting line, like they say in the field, in undeveloped spaces. And if you don't know what you touching as you're rubbing through, you can have some bad rash or even worse.
Yes.
Where do you learn that? Because you
the
can't
hard,
just be lucky
the hard way.
That you haven't gotten a rash or something. You gotta know.
I think by experience,
really?
It's a hard lesson. I would
that's
say
hard.
That, yeah.
That's not for field experience.
You're not encouraging much people to go there like that.
I was about to say, I know we did have a book in the office that had a list of all of the local trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But that one, that was one of the first ones I was pointed out.
Don't touch that.
One.
Exactly.
Yeah.
and you know, one thing about that is the poison wood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the tree that it grows beside is actually the remedy for it. So that's one great thing about the things that we have in nature. Is the poison, the remedy's right there.
Wow,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
But see, again, in this short conversation.
I found out the hard way, too.
Well, I haven't found it. That's pointed out to me. We don't appreciate sometimes, again, in this construction space, we don't sometimes appreciate the amount of knowledge that is gained by the professionals and people who work in the space. It's not just land surveying. It's all other types of things.
Yes.
I'm quite sure in some of your studies, what happens when you come across, let's say, and this is a random question, we know You cannot cut down a national tree. What happens? You come and you survey in a site and someone has a lignum vitae tree on their property. Mm-hmm. You
or
recognize
or mother's tongue or something like that.
What do you do in your survey report?
Well, there are times when you actually have to work around. You mm-hmm. traverse around it, mm-hmm. Especially depending on the size of it. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, too, in a lot of cases, sometimes there are approvals granted in terms of the DEPP mm-hmm. approval in advance, right? But a lot of times the surveyor is there first, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are times that a lot of projects that I've been involved with where you have environmental persons that are going out. Well,
before you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And tag certain trees.
Tag trees.
Stuff. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And some of the larger projects, you know.
There's also a part of where if there are certain trees that you do cut down that are kind of legal,
mm-hmm.
You must transplant at least five for each one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there are two options presented. Mm-hmm. So either you transplant or the option is there's a fee that you pay
mm-hmm.
yeah, for each protected tree.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Didn't know that too.
Yeah.
Now, here's the big question. You mentioned before that, you know, there is the resurgence of the association. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about why you feel like it went kind of silent. Because we're here in the construction space.
Right.
We didn't know there was 87 persons.
Okay.
And so the public knows less than us because they don't engage in the space. What happened? Why did things become dormant?
Okay, so first of all, like I said, it's in the history of the Bahamas. We're up to number 87.
Okay, in the history.
But unfortunately, of course, many of those persons have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're probably more realistically in the 30s in terms of active.
Active.
Yeah.
Wow.
Surveyors.
That's not a lot.
A good percentage of those are actually government surveyors. So not even private.
Really?
Surveyors, yes.
So you can imagine have how many islands that we actually
yes.
have.
Oh my gosh.
And everything
yes.
needs to be surveyed.
Yes.
And every time a development goes on or
yes.
anytime somebody decides they're going to take their generation property in Family Islands and build
something
and mm-hmm. leave Nassau, mm-hmm. everybody needs, and there's only 30-something to go. Wow, you guys must be so busy.
well, I mean, that's why it's in a field that is open.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I mean? Hundreds of youth coming in, per se.
Yeah.
We need to speak to
the Ministry of Education on that.
Yeah, I'm sure my story is not unique, but I started my own company 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not had a day without work, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah,
so I mean, it's the work is there. The work is there.
I think part of the youth experience that holds people back because they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people my own story of getting into project management is I was after high school. I graduated high school. I was working 2 years probably, and I saw an advertisement mm-hmm. for someone making a lot of money, and it was called The Career with a Project Manager, and I decided right then I want to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I already went to high school.
Right.
Was working in architect's office as a draftman. I was up one night and I saw it on Bahamas Jobs thing. I'm like, oh, whatever that is, I want to do
it's
that.
You.
And I started my research right then.
Wow.
And 4 or 5 years later, I was off to college studying
wow.
construction engineering and
wow.
going for project manager. So that's the gap.
Yeah.
We need to somehow get part of this wonderful opportunity
yes.
into the hearing space of a younger person.
So let me go back to answering the question that you did
yeah.
ask. So what really happened is that we were pretty much a bit active right up to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And during COVID, some of our council members and unfortunately passed away and that sort of stuff. And
mm-hmm.
so there was just a period there where we've not kind of reactivated fully
okay.
since then.
Yeah,
we're
the
now...
same thing we went.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But we're now in the process of correcting that. And once we are fully up and running, one of the commitments that we have amongst each other is to get into the schools.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to make sure that the youth coming out of high school are fully aware of this opportunity.
Well, we met with the Ministry
available.
Of Education
right.
About three or four weeks ago with
right.
regard to vocational
yes.
things, because not everybody's interested in being a doctor or a lawyer.
That's correct.
You know.
That's correct. And the demand has been there for a very long time. Just a little snippet of my story, you know what I mean? I remember this would have been probably back in 1996, if my memory
mm-hmm.
serves me correct. But of course, I kind of grew up and was born in Exuma.
Mm-hmm.
So my introduction to surveying and engineering was through my parents, Collier's and Britannica's encyclopedia. Mm-hmm. So that's
what you had.
And all I knew at that point is I love physics and math, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So I came to COB, went and was the first graduate of the pre-engineering program. Mm-hmm. After graduating, I actually worked for about 3.5 years. In construction, construction surveying and working with surveyors.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, I decided just to write to the Prime Minister. And I had done my research, right? And I'd done research understanding, okay, most of the surveyors at that point, I think was over probably 70 to 80% of surveyors were well over 40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, Mr. Prime Minister, I am someone that's interested in studying surveying. Most of the surveyors are elderly mm-hmm. and will soon be off to seeing. And I am...
A young person?
I'm a young person mm-hmm. wanting to get into this field. I do not have the finances, so I'm writing to you. And I wrote, and to my surprise, he wrote to the Ministry of Education and told them to find a scholarship for me.
Wow.
They did. They did, and that was part of my financing.
I love that.
Together,
that is,
you know what I mean?
That is impressive.
Yeah, so I think the government, the Life at Key Foundation, many institutions have been making funds available specifically for fields like surveying. You know what I mean? So it is wide open.
We have a new sponsor on this show as well, Bahamas Development Bank.
Right.
And Samaya Cargill is very into the environment and that type of thing. And they do a lot of loans and financing for green projects and stuff. Mm-hmm. I would actually contact them.
Yes.
And maybe you could work with them.
Yes.
Because she's very, very into what can we do that no one else is doing.
Yes.
Let's us be the sponsors, the ones that will give you the scholarships to go off and do land surveying. Yes. I would do that.
Well, let me even add to that, Debbie. Mm-hmm. So after I came back from Canada,
mm-hmm.
It was something that RBC was running at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they sponsor your show.
Not yet. This may not jump.
Yes.
It
was a special program that RBC was running. It was specifically for professionals.
Professionals, yeah.
So actually, I applied and I got the loan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what allowed me to purchase my set of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
But I had the money to purchase the loan. I didn't have the money to clear it.
Wow.
So I actually wrote to the Bahamas Development Bank, and they gave me a loan
to clear your equipment.
So that's how I got started.
Janique, you had something you wanted to add to that.
Yes, in terms of getting the young people into surveying, and I know, Dave, you touched on the high school. I just wanted to kind of shed some light. This issue that we have is not independent to just the Bahamas.
Mm.
Globally, there's a shortage of surveyors. Most of the surveyors are older.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a part of an organization called Get Kids Into Surveying. It's an international organization, and they try to get brand ambassadors all over the world to kind of feed the younger people mm-hmm. into the profession, starting even from primary school,
mm-hmm.
because at high school maybe it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
They've already mm-hmm. said, "I want to be a lawyer, doctor," mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But
you
if you could kind of pique the interest,
from
and so I've had the opportunity to going into a couple of schools so far,
mm-hmm.
Just to talk and just pique the interest, maybe the little spark.
Listen,
you know?
I think this is wonderful conversation because right. if you and we're saying it to the general public,
right.
And they have an idea about it. But when you understand how to do proper surveying,
yes.
it is very fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any young person realizing how much fun a work can be
yes.
would be interested in doing it. It is fun.
Especially
you have to know your stuff, but it is fun.
You're right. Not stuck in an office.
No,
right?
You're
like
outside.
Some careers, but you're in an office.
That's why I chose surveying.
Yes.
I did not want to be
Me
stuck
too.
In an office.
Me too. I couldn't
office.
Do
yeah.
that. I couldn't
yeah,
do
every
that.
Day is different.
Yeah.
Every
yes.
job site is different.
Different.
You
yeah.
get to see places that you probably would have never gone.
Yeah.
Right.
I have a couple of young guys that work with us. They've been to nearly every island in the Bahamas,
wow.
and they're like
yeah.
in
it's
their
amazing.
Early 20s.
Yeah.
They get
yeah.
to experience
yes.
so much things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's an exciting
yeah.
career, and
mm-hmm.
I'm just sad that we haven't really been able to take advantage more of some of the opportunities. Now, we got to dash a quick break,
mm-hmm.
and when we come back, we'll get more into what's special about surveying and why mm-hmm. we need to really promote this more for the young persons.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have that capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the outhouses.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here with a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, the Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and urban American gospel hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseboro. Let's talk together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. We're going to drop the phone numbers out there for everyone so you can join the conversation. The numbers you could call in are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and from the Family Islands, 242-300-5720, and text line powered by BTC, your 422-GR96, that's 422-4796.
And I'd like to recognize our sponsors as well. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, and thank them very much for supporting us over the last, it'll be a year next week Friday,
yeah.
So we
yeah.
are so excited. Our anniversary is coming up.
Yeah, I can bring cake.
Yes. Ooh, rum cake or something. Oh, sorry, did I say that?
Yeah.
So we have ART, we have CB Bahamas, we have Bahamas Safety Solutions, Family Guardian, and we have a new sponsor.
Yay.
Bahamas Development Bank.
Thank
I'm
you
so
very much.
Excited for that. Thank you
sponsor.
So much for yeah.
So we were talking. Thank you very much, David. So we were talking offline, and we're going to jump straight into this for the remainder of our show. Janique, talk to us about what happens, and we'll go with you first. Talk to us about what happens when someone calls and says, there's a parcel line or XYZ, and I need it surveyed. Where does a professional surveyor start? Because many people think you just, okay, I'm going to go to your site and start surveying the line. Talk to us about what the actual process is.
I think as it was discussed off air, we try to get as much information as possible. So first thing I would probably ask is, where is the property located? Is it a part of a subdivision? If not, you know, try to get as much information. Is it property you own already? Do you have a conveyance?
Because
the conveyance kind of dictates what you legally own and what we're setting out. It may require us to do some research at land and surveys. Sometimes I have to do research in the registry to make sure there's no changes or confirmatory conveyance to say, okay, the dimensions have somehow changed because of whatever reason. And so there's a lot of legwork that happens before we even
go to
watch
the side. Wow.
Correct. Yeah.
And do you think persons appreciate that has to happen if you're doing it the right way? I think a lot of people just think they just go there.
Do they financially appreciate that?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No,
I know for me,
so
even before I even take on a job, I want to kind of have an idea of what is it we're actually taking on. And so it may require me to do research before I even get a dollar. But I know at the end of the day, when I give you a quote and you pay your money, you're looking for me to get started right away, I need to make sure that I'm confident and with the information I have that I'm able to properly execute what it is.
Yeah. Awesome. We got a call. Let's take this call, see what they got to say. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Debbie.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing there?
I'm good. I just wanted to say congratulations to your guest. And wanting to encourage more young women to get in the field of construction. This is a very interesting conversation that you're having this evening.
Yes, thanks, Dequessa.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, I listen to you guys every morning.
That's not Dequessa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Debbie taught you with Dequessa. You're not
Dequessa.
No.
I'm sorry. That's my bad. That's what I thought I heard.
You sound like Dequessa, though. You're not Dequessa.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, Mr. Coach, sorry.
Good to hear you on. But be encouraged.
Thank you.
I'm listening. Okay.
He said to tell us who you are. He didn't even get your voice.
Yvette Sheldon.
There we go.
Oh.
Yeah, he knows Yvette.
Yes, okay.
Yeah,
thank you, Yvette.
From the Exuma Projects. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Yvette, well, thank you for calling in, and absolutely, absolutely appreciate your call.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, all right, Dave, Janique talked about that. I want you to talk about the Department of Lands and Survey. Now, us in the public, we've seen this building our entire lives. It's just a pink building just west of the Shell service station on East Bay Street. Rubus on East Bay Street. But give us the context. What's in the Department of Lands and Survey, and who is the Surveyor General?
Okay, so let me start with the current Surveyor General by the name of Brian Bino.
Okay.
Yes, so he has been on a few rotations, actually. So he's been under contract for a while, and then there was a gap where he was not, and he was brought back.
Okay.
This may be his second or third iteration, you know
okay.
what I mean? Yes. So, and that post is really the person that is really governing surveying in the country.
Really?
Both on behalf of the government, but also he is the chairman of the Land Surveyors Board.
Really?
Which is responsible for licensing all surveyors, mm-hmm. Which also is connected to the association.
Is that right? Yes. He's one of the people. Oh, sorry.
Yes, and after the Department of Lands and Surveys, it's really kind of like the repository of all survey plans, definitely on behalf of the government.
And the government,
the Crown, right? But also, when, as a part of the request from a client,
mm-hmm.
that a plan has to be recorded,
that
is the place where the plan is recorded.
Now,
I
all of a sudden just go straight to the registry.
No, to be honest with you, one of the things that I always kind of remind people of is that I can write A on a paper
mm-hmm.
and register it at the Registrar General's office.
Mm-hmm.
They are not responsible for verifying.
Oh, no? Oh.
No. They are not responsible for verifying. Oh. You know,
they only need a records keeper.
That's all. Right.
Oh.
So a survey plan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So a survey plan that's recorded at the Lands and Surveys Department, there are multiple checks that are done, right? To ensure, number one, that the information presented on that plan is correct mathematically.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as a part of registering a plan, it has to be tied into the national grid system of the Bahamas, which shows the exact
location of it.
That plot sits in the Bahamas.
And that's an interesting thing because I remember this from my architectural draftsman days.
Right.
We use an AutoCAD.
Yes.
So obviously you have to put in feet, degrees, minutes, second.
Yes.
And people don't understand that. Right. People think that everything you draw is 90 degrees this way, 180 degrees this way.
Yes.
I say, no, your property is located. That's actually longitude and latitude. That's a plot mm-hmm. of land on a surface that's moving. It's actually geometry.
Yes.
It's not. Yeah. People think everything is just, it's a straight road.
Yes.
Carmichael Road isn't a straight road.
No.
Blue Road is not straight.
No.
You could tell that's a road that has a longitudinal direction.
That's
so
correct.
Let me ask you a question. I know mm-hmm. Carlos Palacios does a lot of work with drones.
Right.
Because he does a lot of, he's done a lot of work for the government with regard to islands and
the coastal
mapping thing and all that kind of stuff. Do you guys use drones as well?
Oh, heavily, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. What I should say, especially for topographic work, because back in the day, if...
Even finding a location.
Not so much finding a location, but more so for the mapping, right?
Yeah.
Because back in the day, what a topographic survey required is that you must have visual line of sight to use a total station, to conduct the topographic survey.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, you know, you can kind of set up your ground control points, mm-hmm. which allows you, once again, to tie down that survey to a location on the ground. And basically, you can map it. And most of us now are using LIDAR, which allows us to penetrate vegetation to get to the ground surface.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you're high tech. Y'all are high tech. Oh, I was still thinking y'all know they're cutting line in the bush.
Yeah. Not as because of course there are some projects where there's some areas that need to be preserved,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time they need to know what's happening in terms of the terrain.
Yes.
The terrain,
okay.
Yeah.
Sinkholes and that kind of stuff.
Precisely.
Yeah, precisely.
And mm-hmm. thankfully LIDAR allows us, once you're working with, you know, with a good quality sensor,
mm-hmm.
it allows us even to draw out where
there
are sinkholes. LIDAR.
Yes. Oh.
Light detection and radar is what it stands
for.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow. Yes. Okay.
So now, and just to get into some of this now,
right.
this sounds like pretty expensive equipment.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't sound like the stuff you just run out in Home Depot and pick up. Talk to us about some of the equipment that you use out there to do proper surveys.
Okay, so you mentioned drone.
Mm-hmm.
The drone with the LIDAR sensor or any sensor is going to be expensive.
By expensive, would we mean expensive? A cost of a car expensive?
Well,
maybe more.
I think my first, the system that I'm using now is the first system that I bought, but it was customized. But you're looking at $100,000.
Never.
Landed. Yeah. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not into that anymore.
but once again, there are systems that are cheaper.
Yeah.
But it really depends on the quality you're going after.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in doing everything once.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doing it right and doing it once.
Think about your equipment. If you have scaffold and if you have all the things that you actually have, you have your laser levels and all that kind of stuff. You add that up.
Yeah, we got the simple stuff.
Yeah.
It's easy, $100,000 by the time you add everything up.
Stuff. You just talking about your survey and stuff. Yeah,
but actually, that's just one aspect of it.
What?
Yes.
Right.
Nah. So, I mean, this is incredible. Yeah. And one of the things I think we don't appreciate so much, and Debbie, we were talking about this all through the whole, 12 months now, almost of the show.
Mm.
The people don't understand how technically vast just the subject of construction is. I think we just think construction is the vertical building. We think construction is just the craftsman in there. We don't understand that the related fields of the engineering, the architect involved, the realtor, the persons who are doing the planning, the surveying, the financing, the banks, all of that whole thing comes together to create either a project, a home, a government building, a school. It's involved.
Yes.
That's construction.
We've been doing this for a year, and this is the first time that we've even mentioned land surveyors in construction.
No, we didn't even thought about it until we saw something
in
the paper.
So I'm so grateful that article or that little ad was in the paper.
Broke the interest.
Because I don't know how many years it would take him before we actually did that.
We got to it. Yeah, it's crazy.
And if I may, just slightly, one of the things I want to mention while we're here is just, I know we've been focusing on land surveying.
Mm-hmm.
But just to mention to those that, whose interest may be perked, basically, is that there are other aspects too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a segment that's called hydrographic surveying, which actually deals with ocean mapping.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that is something that most of us are involved with.
Mm-hmm.
So also in terms of the marinas that are being built.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In terms of channels, docks, all of that stuff, engineers need to know.
Mm-hmm.
So they not only need to know the upland terrain elevation changes, but also what's happening once
under
you hit that sea level.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's also a part of mapping that's
that we don't talk.
You don't talk about enough. Much, yes, but it's critical. I mean, so some of the projects that we're involved
environmentalists would know about.
Yes. Some of the projects that we're involved with, we also have to do the upland surveys, but also if it's coastal. Do the hydrographic surveys also.
Talk to us about, and we mentioned just briefly offline before we grab this call.
Right.
The legal things that come to play with surveying when it comes to easements, rights of way, rights of access, those kind of encumbrances, what are they for the land surveyor for the general public to appreciate? Are there something that y'all just throw together, make up, or they are actual, this has to happen because it's legally defined to happen?
That's correct. Well, going back to what Janique said in terms of our approach, it's basically we want to be able from the onset to understand in full what that project involves before we even send out a quotation on it, right? So part of that is gathering these older plans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, some of this information is on the older plan, and it means that you cannot just ignore it.
No.
You have to respect it. So any new plan that you produce has to reference that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's why it's important, number one, to get information from the client, but not only from the client, to do your own research to see what else might be missing.
Absolutely.
Because some of the documents that the client may present to you may only want to present the information that they want. Yes.
Let's take this call. Let's see what they got to say. Call you live. Go ahead.
Callie Davis, back in the West along with you. Beautiful people.
How are you,
man? My question is, if you want to start doing surveying, right, pertaining to billing, right, does you do it from the air or via ground?
No, so basically, especially in the Bahamas, it has to be a ground survey.
Okay.
Yeah, it has to be. So the aerial surveying is usually for mapping if you want to kind of get an idea of, how all the buildings are laid out, the road, the heights, all that stuff. So it gives you like a general map of the way everything fits together. But in terms of boundary surveys, it has to be done physically on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Brian.
You for your call. Janique, so we got phones are lighting up right now. So we got the surveying. We know the lands are surveyed. We know that y'all have very expensive equipment. How is the future of surveying looking to be transformed with AI?
Mm.
It's still Because what I find interesting is that surveying is a mix of on the ground and heavy use of technology. How does AI affect the future of surveying?
Dave?
On a personal?
I think while I feel like AI will help surveyors in terms of maybe some of the computation,
processing data,
maybe even some research, right? You can put in a document in whichever AI, let's say ChatGPT, it can give you some summary, something like that. So I think just like with every profession, AI will help to push even with efficiency, right? I think when it comes to the boundary and actually laying out, I think
that's going to
always for the foreseeable future, there will still be a physical person carrying out those surveys. But I think, you want to expand more on that?
I will, no problem. So one of the things that I've seen is specifically if I can speak to LiDAR processing, AI is being heavily used now.
Integrated in that.
So what happens is that when you collect this LiDAR data, it basically, you're talking within, it depends on the way you have your program set up, but within a square meter, right, you can collect 400,000 points.
Wow.
Within a square meter. Wow. That's the amount of data
that could be pulled from it,
exactly. So now you can use AI to help with interpretation
and processing
to determine, okay, what is a rooftop? What is the side of a building? What's a road? And basically, the programs are being trained now to be able to use AI to interpret.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Now, let's take this next call. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good evening to you both.
Good evening.
Sorry to call so late. Not you both, two, three, four.
Four of us,
My apologies. Yes.
No worries.
Initially, I wanted to do the relationship between math and the construction industry. I heard the word geometry used and things like that. And I want to congratulate the youngest voice in the room there.
Yeah.
The lady who seems to be a professional in the area, so there's
professional license,
right? So I want to know also the relationship, as I said, Matt, the technical drawings. Where's the foundation or the start towards that particular career path? And I also want to make a comment about AI. Now, as a computer teacher, I'm sometimes reluctant to some of the future technology, so to speak, and I classify the word AI as it is, artificial intelligence. Now, something that is artificial, for me, is always artificial. So it will never supersede or be superior to the actual
intelligence.
The thing. Even though there is a lot of, what do you call it, not just hype, but there's a lot of benefits from it, because the things that we can do with computers, we couldn't do, as it were, not many persons could do manually. So, that's the only thing I would say at this point in time, and I would just want to like to know how we can relate our technical drawing students, and even to encourage students in math to know that there is a big future, a lot of careers involved in math. Actuaries.
Actuary scientists.
The people who work in insurance engine who can make predictions and all those things.
Right.
So there's so much to do in learning your math, starting with your basic math. And as you said, as I mentioned, technical drawing, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, if you're a teacher, please share the information with the students and the school that you're at.
Yeah, I'm wishing and hoping that Garden Radio will also bring its programs up to some of our schools or town meetings and so on, so we get more personally engaged.
Well, leave your information
with the producer,
and then we can reach out to you and see what we could actually arrange, because we have been to the Ministry of Education. And they are, very interested in working
Director
with
Russell.
Us and doing an MOU, so yes.
Right, definitely, and especially because of our low results that we're having in math.
Gosh.
Well, thank you very much. We'll let Janique answer that question. Yeah, go ahead, Janique.
In terms of technical drawing, I think
it is a bit of drawing. Instead of draw.
Definitely, a big part of what we do is survey drafting.
Yeah.
And so I would say the technical drawing plays a big part. Math, yes, geometry, surveying is a lot of it is applied trigonometry. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is based on the triangle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I would say a strong math component.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's some geography. There's a whole section of surveying called geographic information systems.
Mm-hmm. Botany.
Yes. So
science.
Dave, am I missing anything out?
Well, definitely as one of the foundations, you definitely need that physics background.
Right.
You know, it helps.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It definitely helps. You know what I mean? Yes.
I think though, we have a lot of things that we see on the back end.
Right.
And you know, back in the day, we used to see the surveyors out there with their survey books and writing these scribbles down and. People don't appreciate the knowledge and the math and just the stuff that they're writing down.
Right.
And you're recording sometimes points, you're recording measurements, you're doing the calculation, it got to close and all these things. Mm-hmm. It's a science that I think people appreciate only on a very glance. And I would encourage persons, get your young person interested in it because it is a very, very good profession to get interested
in. I think a lot of people hear the word physics or they hear a particular word like that. They go, oh, my God. I don't even want to get into something like that, right? Because you're afraid of something that you don't really know.
Yeah.
Until you find something that interests you.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you don't even realize. Yeah. Like, I was lousy in math in school.
Right.
So God decided, I'm going to make you a contractor.
Wow.
So what did I have to do for 43 years? Math.
Wow.
Right? So I may still not know the quadratic formula, but I can do a quote. You know what I'm saying?
Do math,
So you don't be afraid of something just because you don't know about it.
Yeah.
Look into it because it might be something that's really exciting for you.
That's great. And it's funny because, you know, I know for many years, you know, you hear students who do not like math say things like, you know, why have to do algebra? What am I going to use that for in life? But it's funny because I find myself now using algebraic stuff just to actually solve situations that are not even related. They're simple things in life, right? But the concept can be applied.
Can be applied.
And that's what learning is all really about. You know what I mean? You never stop learning. But really, it's really just about applying that concept. And I think that's one of the biggest things I would like to see a shift in persons who are coming out of school, not just trying to gather information to repeat it, but really how do you apply it?
Yeah.
And I think that if we can kind of excite the next generation in terms of how you apply things, we've won.
Yeah. Think about this too. Think about you're a kid and you get an opportunity to work in a restaurant, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get an opportunity to add a gratuity on the end of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know math to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's
don't be afraid of it because
correct.
That could be what you put in your pocket that takes you home at night and gives you $100.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Last 30 seconds, give us your spiel.
I would just like to encourage persons, if you're at that crossroad where you're thinking about a profession, I would like to welcome you to consider surveying.
Surveying.
You know what I mean? Especially if you do have a liking for math.
Mm-hmm.
All of it does not have to be out in the hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
some of it you can do in office, but it's just a wide array that's waiting. And because we're a country that's, you know, so many islands. There's just so much to be done.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Janique?
What I would touch on is, we talked about it off air, but to encourage people, if, like was mentioned, your real estate is one of the biggest investments you'll ever make.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage you, just as you would not get a shoddy contractor, you would go to an actual attorney. Make sure you're hiring a licensed professional surveyor.
I like that.
Because even if something is wrong, there is liability insurance that most of us will carry that will cover it.
Yes.
If there is a mistake, right? That you don't have that recourse if you find somebody that is not a licensed professional. So that would be my encouragement to the listeners.
That. Awesome.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
This has been a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
I am so grateful
that
I called you and it's the wrong number. Oh my gosh. Yes.
So we thank you to this evening for our wonderful guests in the studio, Dave Taylor and Ms. Janique Kemp, our two professional licensed servers in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Well, this is another exciting edition of Nailed It. We'll
see
you.
Our last one for our first year.
We'll see you next week on our anniversary of 1 year as a radio show on Guardian Radio.
Congratulations.
Good evening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches at Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors, Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
When your building renovation projects are go, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.